warm welcome to everyone who's here with us this afternoon. Again, anyone visiting with us, we ask and pray that you have a blessed hour too as you worship and praise our most holy Father this afternoon. I would just like to read a few verses from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Will you join with singing me on page 2 of your bulletin? The hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Together as we worship the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, and who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his hands. Amen. And this God greets us, saying, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our worship, singing this afternoon Psalter 246, all the stanzas. It's entitled in the Psalter, A Pilgrim's Prayers, and our sermon theme this time is about pilgrims living for the city to come. So A Pilgrim's Prayers based on Psalm 90.
Thank you. We're privileged as we read the Bible together in worship to read this afternoon from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, page 1183 in the Pew Bible. Our text will be especially verse 14, from which we have our sermon theme, Pilgrims Living for the City to Come. Hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. That's our text. Let's now honor God triune with confessing together the great truths of the Christian faith as expressed in the Apostles' Creed. Let's praise the Lord in confessing him in the way the 12 articles speak of him, testifying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing together now another song about pilgrimage, based on Psalm 119, Psalter 323. Psalter 323. We ask the Lord's blessing for this service. In our before prayer, I want to just announce, remind.
Thank you.
sermon, we'll have a word of prayer, asking the Lord to bless it. And then we'll have the offering time and we'll sing Psalter 203. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. This text, Hebrews 13, 14, is one we can't consider by itself. The first word, for, links it to verse 13. And the first word, afterwards, therefore, connects it with verse 15. Realizing this and considering this more too in a few moments, still our main focus this afternoon is just this confession of faith, this testimony of all true believers, this outlook of all genuine Christians. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, what drew me to preach on this text just last week in my own church were a couple things, several things. And the one was the moving of a family from our congregation in Calgary to south of Alberta in Orton, a little town between Fort McLeod and Monarch. And this family, they were with us for about 10 years, and they moved during their 10-year time in Calgary several times as well. Beloved, moving can always help us, remind us, here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. When you move, you pack stuff and get rid of stuff that you never thought you needed anymore, or that you didn't know you had even. Then there's the fact that a couple weeks back, I myself and several others in the congregation, and I'm quite sure here as well, have dealt with some sickness. I too was laid low for more than a week. And whether we have temporary or terminal illness, surely sickness reminds us how frail we are. And always there's reason for us to have the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. On top of this, there was the reality of the ongoing war in Ukraine. It's on the daily news now for months already. I'm sure you've seen it too. Pictures showing that beautiful country with homes and cities and buildings being destroyed, completely flattened, ruined. A fairly stable nation now suddenly more or less incapacitated in all kinds of ways. And never mind how many lives are lost among the Ukrainians and among the Russians. I heard a news clip this week that the president of Ukraine urged the Russians, please get rid of the mountains of body bags of Russian soldiers lying around. We can't imagine that kind of trouble, but it's happening. So that was another reason. Then there was one other reason that drew me to my text was a Bible study in our own church on the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum, you know what it's about? It's about the destruction of Nineveh. In the days of Jonah, about 150 years earlier, God spared that city when the people of Nineveh repented at the word of the Lord. But after a while, in the second, third generation, after Jonah's time, the people returned to wickedness, so badly so, that God said, that's it. And through the prophet Nahum, he foretold that city would be totally destroyed and the Assyrian Empire wiped out off the earth. And that happened. Nineveh was destroyed in 612 BC by the Babylonians. It happened actually as foretold by Nahum, the prophet of the Lord. That city, that people lived in arrogant splendor and terrible wickedness. And now their days were numbered and total destruction came on them by the Babylonians, overtaking them just as God said would and should happen. Now, dear congregation, in all world history, how many cities and communities around the world which looked like to be there forever, sooner or later have been demolished, brought down to nothing? As another well put it, quote, however permanent man-made cities appear to be, the world is littered with the remains of once powerfully impressive communities. Can you not think too of empires and cities of the past no longer existent today? What happened to the Tower of Babel? And where today is Nineveh? And Babylon? And the great Greek Empire? And the Roman Empire that all appeared so invincible long ago? Think of the many places of ancient ruins and mounds where once were standing establishments, flourishing communities, boasted of in all the world. If you Google coal-centered ghost towns in Alberta, you'll get 11 quickly mentioned. Coal cities that are now ghost towns. Well, all this and more, congregation, it brings us for a good reason now to this text, Hebrews 13:14, the Christian's confession of faith. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Let's think about this text under our theme, Pilgrims Living for the City to Come. 3 points, an important reminder, a most gracious way, and a very promising future. Now, with our first point, an important reminder about being pilgrims living for the city to come. Who here, as confessing Christian, will not admit this is so? It's an important reminder. I mean, can't we all, and don't we all, even as true believers, so easily get distracted and sidetracked and lose this Christian calling and focus our text reminds us about? Are we pilgrims on the world, looking to the world to come? Or do we need a reminder about this? Here it's good to see our text in its larger context, as always. And this verse is from the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. That book of Hebrews, you will know, I think, was written to first-generation Christians who were struggling under very severe persecution, facing daily temptation to forsake Christ and go back to ungodly Judaism and the pagan world, just to be able to live, almost, it seemed like. But all the book of Hebrews points out so powerfully that Christ Jesus, as crucified and risen and ascended Savior, you shouldn't give up on Him, because He's so wonderful. He's the only true, complete Savior of sinners. In Him alone is life, now and forever. And in chapter after chapter, the inspired author, doesn't he, of Hebrews, he proves Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners being infinitely far better and greater than anything and anyone in this whole wide world, and that any other religion puts before us, and that whatever sin might promise us. The book of Hebrews gives, doesn't it, example after example also of believers who in the past forsook all to trust and follow the promised Messiah, Christ Jesus, the Lord. In fact, don't we read about the patriarchs, the believing patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in Hebrews 11? By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, and it says, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For they waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Further, we read in verse 16 of that same chapter, Hebrews 11, about the forefathers in the faith. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Well, from this all, beloved, we can learn, can't we, what our text is saying. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. It surely gives us an important reminder that this world is not our home when we're thinking rightly and when our hearts are in the right frame of mind. That is, when you and I are true Christians, by God's grace and Spirit, then we have learned, and we keep learning, don't we, that not to put our hope and our expectation in anything or anyone in this world. No, but when it's well with us as Christians, you and I view ourselves as pilgrims, just passing through this world. Our focus isn't here and now when it's right, but our focus is ultimately on the world to come. Paul says in Colossians 3 to Christians, set your affections, your heart, your mindset on things above and not on things on the earth. Well, are we doing that? Do we do that? Is a reminder about this good for us? Indeed, when we realize what our text is saying, then we live as strangers in this world, finding once and again all our hope and expectation and consolation is in Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer, and what He's about and the world to come He is establishing in due course. Now, this doesn't mean that we live in tents as such, or like the patriarchs of old, or that we be like the monks who live in monasteries many centuries back, and even in some places still today. No, congregation, but it does mean, however and wherever settled here on earth we be, we know and we show we live not for the here and now, but in view of Christ, our Savior and Lord, and in view of the world to come, His kingdom, that He promises all His own. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you as He pleases to give them to us. Well, again, do any of us need this reminder? Maybe at whatever stage you are in life right now. Have you perhaps been tempted of late to lose this Christian focus and this Christian outlook for whatever reason? Isn't it a timely reminder, Hebrews 13:14, thinking too of this spring and summer season ahead of us, should the Lord continue to tarry in His return? You know, with spring and summer, there's always lots to do, isn't there? Especially also here in the valley, so much to do, even in connection with house and yard upkeep. Or maybe you have a special project, house project you're planning. Or maybe you have a great holiday that you're thinking of this summer. How do we keep a Christian mindset, a pilgrim mindset, in all the busyness and business of family life and work life and community life and church life, living also in our 21st century world? It's a good question. It's a tough question. How about us children too, enjoying summer holidays, off school soon? And maybe when teenagers, having your summer jobs, and maybe our social times and special recreation times ahead of us. Think too of families who maybe have a wedding planned, or maybe someone's buying their first house, or maybe starting a new business. Well, none of these things are forbidden us, congregation, and they can be very good for us even. But how do we in it and with it all not lose the Christian perspective of Hebrews 13:14? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Well, before we look at next at the most gracious way to keep this godly perspective, let us just pause and express here thanksgiving to God for this Christian mindset put before us. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. I mean, just imagine, beloved, just imagine if this world is all there ever would be. What a world of sin and misery we live in. We see all around us living in this fallen, wicked, cursed world, headed to sure and final destruction, as the Bible tells us. You know, when unbelievers live only for this world, they are living for what is hopeless and hellbound. The wicked, as we read in Isaiah, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And don't we see lots of mire and dirt cast up in our day, in society, all around? Society can't keep up with trying to think of things to do to just survive if this is all there is. You know, in Calgary right now, I have to just mention Calgary Flames. You know, Calgary's hot, red hot. Red hot, red spot. But if that's all you got nothing. What does it profit a man? What does it profit Calgary if they get the cup? What's it worth? Well, I'm not saying you can't get excited about those kinds of things. But if we as Christians are just like the world, all into that, thinking that's it, that's pretty poor. That's very, very poor. You know, as Christians, in Bunyan's famous allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, he realized what about this sinful, fallen world? He described it as what? With all its pleasures, with all its treasures, with all its distractions, he described it as a city of destruction left to itself. And that's what it is. And I say to you, as I say to myself, how thankful, yes, how unbelievable thankful we should be when you and I realize this, and when we reflect it, what our text is teaching us compared to the world. And where do we hear this perspective? Where do we learn it? But in church, under the preaching of God's word. You won't hear it in the world, in the sports arenas. You won't hear it in the movie theaters. that this world is headed to eternal destruction and doom. But in God's house, under God's word, we are shown and taught wisdom's way. And it's found here as nowhere else in the world. Are you and I, whether as children or youth or older ones, humbly and heartily thankful for the only truthful perspective as taught us in all God's word? And do our lives show and reflect we take God's word most seriously? Notice too here how our text doesn't just say that here is no continuing city, a fact that is most true, but that it says here we have no continuing city or remaining city. It's a confession of faith, in other words. It's a confession of faith of true believers, of those seeing through the futility of life and all things here below apart from Christ as only Savior and Lord. We didn't sing it, but in Psalter 136, based on Psalm 49, we do sing this truth: dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. None forever can remain. Each must leave his hoarded gain. Yet within their heart they say that their houses are for that is, for always, that their dwelling places grand shall for generations stand. But the truth is, as I think the fourth stanza of that song says, though in life a person wealth attained, though the praise of men he gained, he shall join those gone before, where the light shall shine no more. Crowned with honor though he be, highly gifted, strong and free, if he be not truly wise, man is like the beast that dies. Congregation, how good when we get this. And young people and children, the earlier you get this, the better. Our text describes the way of wisdom and not the way of folly. And isn't it true? Would you agree with me? The second part of the verse, Hebrews 13, 14, fits together, surely, with the confession of faith in the first part, when it's well. If you and I truly know and acknowledge the first part, that here we have no continuing city, then it follows, wouldn't you say, that we seek the one to come. It's not some vague pipe dream, some vague pipe dream city to come. No, but the text very specifically states the one to come, or the one that is coming. That eternal city of God, beloved, is coming for sure. Yes, in and with the new creation after this life, and made known for all to be aware of in the last day when Christ returns for the last and final judgment. The Bible is not, unlike so much science fiction and all fiction literature in general, and like all false religion propaganda, the Bible is not telling and teaching us about a future make-believe fairy tale place where God's believing people end up. No, no. Rather, the future city of God is a real place, congregation. And it's an eternal realm that'll be just something else. And when it's well with us, not only do we not find our home here and now on this earth below, but we seek after, we pursue after, we ever keep in view the heavenly kingdom in the world to come. Yes, that inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, as Peter says, that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, again, is this same true of you and me, dear congregation? Children, young people, and older ones, how is it noticeable in your life and mine that we are both pilgrims now and at the same time heirs of the new heaven and earth, that city that's referred to in our text as the one place to come? What does it mean to seek that city, that better country to come? That city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, here we come to our second main point under our sermon theme, pilgrims living for the city to come. We have thought about the important reminder our text teaches us, and now consider with me the most gracious way our text guides us. And again, here we should think of the original audience of this letter to the Hebrews. We know, as I mentioned, the book was written to Hebrew Christians who were suffering, as I said, fierce persecution, both from the unbelieving Jews and from pagans around them, the pagan Gentiles. And does our text mean that they were just tired of this world and couldn't wait till the end of this life in view of all the suffering and trials and tribulations? You know, sometimes you meet people who just want to die because it's just so hard here and they're so tired of it all. They're just bone weary of the broken and troubled world and the ongoing fight against sin and Satan. People look to escape this world and in that light look forward to the next world. But that's not the main focus of this text. When speaking of not having a continuing city here and seeking the one to come. No, their motivation, according to the text, as pilgrims, not at home in this world and looking ahead at the world to come, was not so much negatively oriented, but rather more positively oriented. And here is where we need to draw from the verses before and after to get the full meaning of our text. Clearly their focus was on looking on Christ Jesus and following after him and drawing from him in spirit and truth and in word and deed. The immediate context tells thus of Jesus, his willing suffering in his life ministry, sinners like us to save. And the whole book of Hebrews tells of how even after his finished work, how he's still in glory, so out to be with and for his people if we belong to him. And how he'll so be there for us in our every need. And that's the focus of here, having no continuing city, but seeking the one to come. See, the meaning is, as you and I, by God's grace and Spirit, abide in Christ and his word, and ever look to him and call on him and go forth to him as blessed and triumphant Savior of sinners, then you and I will more and more, so enjoying him, feel like a stranger and a pilgrim in this sinful and wicked world. Focused on Christ Jesus and ever directed by him and his word, you and I will find ourselves then being in the world, but not of the world, nor like the world, nor liked by the world often. And in this way also, increasingly, we will begin to think on and long for that eternal realm where we may forever be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where sin and Satan also will be no more. As verse 15 also indicates. Notice that. Therefore, by him. Do you see that phrase? By him. Therefore, by him we will be seeking earnestly and thankfully to praise the Lord in our lives and to live to his praise also before our neighbors, and so to live looking for that city to come and not as if this world is everything. Well, from this all, you agree with me, we learn the most gracious way to be pilgrims and seeking the world to come. It's not by living in fatigue for the here and now, especially in the dark and dreary times of today, but it's by living in faith in Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, with your eyes fixed on him. The Lord Jesus himself, by his word and spirit, becomes our motivator then, and our guide, and our guard. He's the forerunner before us. He's the captain of our salvation. Living pilgrims, pilgrim lives to God's glory and our neighbor's well-being. Well, do you see with me how this fits also with the whole theme of the book of Hebrews? The theme and purpose of the book of Hebrews, as a certain Bible introduction to the book put it, quote, is the supremacy of Christ over all things and the fullness of God's redemption in him. That's what the book is about. And even so, you see, to exhort all readers not to draw back, but to stand firm in the faith in the midst of their trials that they were enduring, ever looking to Jesus. In Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 37, we read, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. And Hebrews chapter 13, congregation, is like the one main concluding chapter, giving various important real-life practical exhortations in view of Christ, the all-sufficient, almighty, ever-faithful, triumphant Savior of sinners for all who trust and follow him. And so this chapter, this concluding chapter, this very Christ-focused book of the Bible, You know what it does? It focuses on all kinds of real life, practical ways to keep focused. And that, you know what that means? Be faithful in your marriage. Be godly as a single person. Be faithful in church. Be respectful to the church leaders and helpful and encouraging. It means caring for the church and for the as the bride of Christ, not only locally but across the world. Thinking especially too of the persecuted church. It means to realizing God's word and his gospel way is unchanging while living in a world full of change and decay. You know, our society is changing so rapidly. But as church, we ought to stand firm with the truth, the unchanging truth of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The more you and I glory in Christ Jesus as revealed in all the Bible and especially in this book of Hebrews, the more reasons we have ever to stay close to Jesus and to abide always in Him and His infallible, inerrant, Holy Spirit-inspired Word. Jesus Christ, I read the other day, is so great a Savior from all sin and evil. There's every reason to run to Him day after day, all the days of your life, and you will never be disappointed. Yes, regardless of pressures of the culture and of false teachers outside and inside the visible church, urging us to turn away from the only foundation of our faith and of the Christian church in all ages and places. Well, in view of our text, beloved, how it is a verse that clearly exposes also the lie of Roman Catholicism, which tells us Rome and the Vatican is the place for the real heart of the gospel. No, here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. It's also so, it so exposes the folly of those that well-meaning as they may be, are putting great hope in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, in the Middle East. That's so contrary to the whole book of Hebrews, and certainly also to our text. It also exposes the lie of the Muslim faith, which if you go to Mecca, that's the ultimate experience. Go to Mecca for a real ultimate spiritual experience. Such thinking is also misguided and contrary to the whole thrust of all Scripture and to our text. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Strikingly, the book of Hebrews is written itself in a context where the temptation to return to Judaism, in that very context, the reality was that soon enough, in fact, only a few years after the book of Hebrews was written, the once favored city of Jerusalem would itself be leveled and totally destroyed by the Romans, along with its temple, as happened in 70 AD. God foretold it would happen. Jesus forewarned it would happen. And the point is, congregation, how vain to put our hope in cities on earth, however honored and flourishing they may appear or have been in the past. True Christians understand and live by Hebrews 13:14, namely this confession of faith. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. You know what all the Bible ultimately teaches us is that, as another put it, the Christian has something far better than an insecure and non-continuing city on earth, even the Father's house with his many mansions eternal in the heavens. Well, again, beloved, is this what you and I in our hearts and lives constantly keep in view too and earnestly seek after all the days of our lives? Does it show in your and my management of our time and our resources and in our walk and in our talk and in home, at home and in our neighborhoods and in church and school life and work life that we are a pilgrim? You are a pilgrim at heart. And here is not your home, but you seek the one to come. You're just passing through this life, looking to the world to come. You know, strange as it may sound, it's those who are exactly so motivated by God's grace and Spirit who are also living by God's grace and Spirit the most earthly good lives, the lives of most earthly good to their loved ones and to neighbors and in the church family and in this fallen world. Yes, for then by Him Yes, by Him, that is, in and through Jesus Christ, and living in daily faith and repentance and devotion to Him, you and I are living, not forgetting to do good works and to be zealous of good works to the praise of God and as a Christian witness to those around us while given opportunity yet to do so. Well, truly, the more heavenly-minded anyone becomes, the more earthly good and useful he becomes too, by God's grace and Spirit. Doesn't the Apostle Paul reflect this same in Philippians 3, when he says there, he testifies and exhorts the Christians in his day, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern or example. For many walk," he says, "of whom I told you before, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." And it doesn't mean you can't enjoy a good meal or a good snack, but if that's all you live for, "whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For," says Paul, "our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, let me ask, is your citizenship in heaven, each one here, in this service, or listening online? Are your passport papers in order for the kingdom of heaven and for entrance into the city in eternal glory, that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Are we in our families caring about all in the family, having their citizenship papers, their passports in order and on hand? Do we make clear it is something, not something of ourselves or our backgrounds or of our own doing ever, that sets in order our lives before God and the city to come, but that it's that city is only entered always by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Do we teach and give holy example of the gracious gospel truth, as Jesus teaches in Matthew 18:3, that unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven? Oh, how important, beloved, that we make this gospel truth known also in our day, for all too many deceive themselves, thinking just living by some rituals and doing a few occasional good works, maybe like going to church once in a while or giving a donation, that'll get them accepted in the holy city one day. God is love. He'll let them in. No, no. What does the Bible teach, congregation? Only with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, one whom we come to repentant and believing, trusting and obeying His gospel call, only in that way can we become heirs of the kingdom of heaven, by grace through faith in Jesus. Well, surely, and praise God, it is so. This gospel is preached here, isn't it? Often, many times. And you hear this message again and again in one way or another. May we never stop giving this message either. But also, may all of us not only be hearing it, but heeding it. Also now this afternoon. And again, I think of children and young people. You're in the stage. Are you listening? If you are still unsaved, the gospel call of the whole book of Hebrews surely urges by all means to repent of sin and to believe in Jesus Christ, to be linked in with Him as only Savior of sinners, even this day. And the book of Hebrews urges, harden not your hearts through the deceitfulness of sin, but find refuge with Christ while it's yet the day of grace and before it's forever too late. Hebrews 2 asks this very solemn question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation as made known to us in the Bible about Jesus, the only Savior of sinners? And you know what, congregation and young people and children, it's most reasonable to seek and serve the Lord. It's the best life ever. And all God's true people, by God's grace and Spirit, they become known in rejoicing in the Lord and confessing and demonstrating in various degrees in their hearts and lives, Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. When it's well with our soul, then we agree with our sermon theme, don't we? And our points, pilgrims living for the city to come. It's not only matter of where we need an important reminder again and again, and the way, the gracious way that we may follow this way. But notice yet, thirdly, the promising future that our text surely tells about and promotes. What is the very promising future that all God's redeemed may look forward to and hope in, beginning even the moment we breathe our last here on earth? Why, just pondering it briefly, isn't it the heavenly city to come in glory? And I ask you, who of us can tell what God has all prepared for them that love Him? The Lord Himself declares it will exceed all believers' expectations and wildest imaginations. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior, of whom it can be said He alone went through all hell to save sinners like us. His blessed purpose for that all was to bring us into His eternal kingdom of everlasting glories beyond compare. In Psalm 16, verse 11, we're told, at His right hand are pleasures, rivers of pleasures forevermore. Here, just think with me of the beauties of the new creation. What a beautiful day today. Think of the beauties of the new creation and enjoying the renewed heaven and earth with no more curse of sin or enemy of evil ever present again. No more calamities. No more disasters. And just think, too, of living in the presence of Christ, the Savior, and of all His redeemed, the countless multitude from every tribe and tongue and nation, and that with perfect fellowship. No irritants. Just beautiful, endless fellowship and communion of saints. Imagine, too, no more division ever. No more disappointment. No more strife or misunderstanding ever again. Think, too, of Revelation 21, 22, telling us of the glories of the city to come. There'll be no more pain there. No more crying. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more sin. No more death in that city to come. It'll be a city. Yes, a city. Meaning, it'll be such a place of social life. Lots of social life. But it'll be in the worldwide country and universe of endless splendor and glory and everlasting peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment as God is planning. And as in this life always seems to escape us here and now. The promising future, beloved, can only be described actually more in negatives, in what won't be there, than in positives, what will be there, because it's just so indescribable and so incredible what God has planned. I read a quote the other day, being saved is good news, but the best is yet to be. That's for sure. Last weekend when I wrote this sermon, May 14, was Pastor Ganger's death 7 years ago when he died, 63, 64, suddenly of a stroke. We communicated with his wife last weekend, and she said, yes, but he's safe now. He's safe. You know, congregation, no one's safe here. No one. I read the other day of a father taking his 15-year-old girl to an NBA game. Pretty exciting event. She doesn't come out of the bathroom because, why? She's kidnapped. And she gets in the sex trade by the kidnappers. 15-year-old girl. There's no one safe here. He's safe now. You kids, you play sorry or aggravation. You know, you go around. It's never safe when you're around. But when you got those things in the home, that's safe. But that doesn't compare with what I want to say, because when you're in the home, at least in the one game we played, you're in the home, you're in a little rut. But you're not in a rut when you're home in glory. No, no. It's everlasting goodness, wonderful freedom, and blessing and joy, unbelievable, forever to be enjoyed with God and all His redeemed in the new creation. We're told about the Queen of Sheba when she visited King Solomon in all his grandeur, in all his magnitude, that she said, the half has not been told me of the earthly splendor and kingdom as I now witness it. The Bible tells us that as just a dim reflection of what God's people will testify of ever in the city of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that He's prepared for His people and planning and still preparing and promising for us without a doubt for all who live and die in the Lord. You know, congregation, for sure it's the case. 1 second in glory, will forever make all the redeemed there realize with endless rejoicing how blessed to have lived life here and now as pilgrims, ever looking to Jesus and following after Him in spirit and truth. And likewise, don't we have to say, 1 second in hell for all the unsaved and the wicked who end up there will forever make clear what a fool to have lived life here and now rejecting and despising Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord and not trusting and following after Him and His Word as our all in all. Well, in conclusion, beloved, as final Christian exhortation, will we each and all have Hebrews 13:14 as a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path day by day. Would anyone among us have it any other way? Not if you are wise and will triumph in this life and in the life to come forevermore. A Christian pilgrim mindset worth living and dying for. I pray that the points of this sermon, the importance reminder and the gospel way and the promising future about the pilgrim way be much appreciated by us all, and that all our portion, this be all our portion now and forevermore, that we realize this text and that we rejoice in it and that we reflect it and rally others in this only Christian way. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the guidance of your word and the way we should go and the way we should not go. Again, we pray for the Holy Spirit.